Hey, stupid nerds, download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Baby, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Is it bad that our audio quality has improved, now that we're not even in the same room? That seems odd.
Well, we streamlined it, you know, just mono a mono. Man to man, not man with man. Like, you know, like how the Bible, how the Bible doesn't like.
I thought you were making a, audiophile wordplay joke there.
Mono. Man, you know, maybe I should do some of these streaming shows to keep my chops up because, man, no need to be funny. And the stuff that I am finding funny, real dumb. So,
how have you done some streaming stand up shows?
I did like a couple weeks ago, but now. Now it's out of the woodwork. People like, you want to do this? You want to do that? I'm like, no, I truly have no
interest. Does that make me a bad comic that I have zero interest in doing that?
No. Have you seen the people doing them? Those are bad comics. I kid. See, I still got it. It's a zinger that went back around Inception style.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, though. I put some jokes on Twitter today, and I don't know if it's everybody being at home thinking like, Twitter's fun to be like, hey, there's a funny, just a one-liner joke that wouldn't fit in my set. But then people, they like to tag the jokes, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
That's annoying. It's like, I got it.
Oh, downright. I want to personally call out some of these horrible tags that I got today. Like, don't. It's like Dave, you're cooking your famous chili, and then somebody's just behind you going, what about green Skittles in it? You're like, how about you just fuck off? How about you fuck all the way off and just eat the chili, you dumb piece of shit? All right, Dave, here's a great joke I put on Twitter. Let me do that more like Anthony Jeselnik. Dave, you know how I like great jokes? Here's another one. All right.
Okay.
This is a joke I put up today.
Thank you.
I said, you've got a friend in me, but it's sung by a woman telling her husband she's been banging his pal. That's already right there. That's great.
Oh, that is good.
The song, you've got a friend in me, but it's how a woman breaks it to her husband that she's cheating on him. You've got a friend in me. She's banging his friend. That's
I like it.
That joke, you already got your money's worth on that. I threw in the undercoating for free. Watch this. And then you didn't even have to read another tweet. Same tweet. I said, you got a friend in me, but sung by a woman telling her husband she's been banging his pal. She found a Randy Newman, if you will.
A new man.
Yeah, Randy Newman, who sings a song, but Randy Newman.
A new man who's also very Randy.
Dude. Just gave you your groceries for free. I just let you get double coupons on comedy.
That's
with
pretty
this
good
joke. Thank you for recognizing.
That's why you're Kyle Kinane.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Goddamn master. I even capitalized. I spelled Randy Newman correctly, but I capitalized the M for man in Newman, just so people would be clear. I really spoon fed it to these dipshits, and then still Dave, listen to this.
Yeah,
some other fucking guy, some guy wants to just do puns. He just goes, starring cunt Eastwood. Get the fuck out of here. What does that even mean? And then another guy goes, I've got your friend in me. He changed the title of the song, even though the title is what the joke hinged around already. Stay the fuck away from comedy. That's what I say to all of you. Stay away from comedy. Don't you dare fucking touch it. My tweets are museum pieces. Down. You stay 3 feet away. Don't you don't know flash photography and stay away from my excellent jokes.
That,
and then some other guy goes,
there,
a Randy Johnson, if you will. No, a Randy new man. She found a new man who's Randy. That's who you cheat with, is a Randy new man who's the name of already of this guy who sings the song.
I hate the if you will. No, I will not. Fuck off.
I added that in mind. That's why he was doing that.
Oh, okay. But no, when someone's doing that too, I get a lot of that, and I get a lot of, you know, I'll do something, I'll make a joke just, you know, similar to what you're going through there, and someone will tag it with, you mean blankety blankety blank. And I'm like, no, I did not mean that. If I meant that, I'd have said that. I mean my joke.
I know. That's I just what had I mean. My own joke told back to me, but worse. I'll tag it again. You know what this is? You know, I'll title this tweet. You know what I'll call it? Toy Story 4 Play.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking go fuck yourself.
Oh, God.
Go suck my whole asshole, you jerks.
Here's one that got me real good yesterday, and I had forgotten about this. I didn't write this. I was watching Raising Arizona, one of my favorite movies.
Already. And, give it to me.
For some reason, I forgot about this joke when his boss is over. And he goes, hey, did you hear the one about the guy from the Polish persuasion? He walks into a bar holding a big old pile of dog shit and says, hey, look what I almost stepped in.
How many Polish people take the screw to a light bulb? I don't know, but they're so dang stupid.
Do you get it?
You best watch yourself, Mordecai. Oh, Raising Arizona, I think, is my favorite movie of all time.
It's so goddamn funny.
I think it's a perfect
so
movie.
So funny. Son, you got a panty on your head. Oh, I love that movie so much.
It's
What else is going on, buddy? Are you I can tell that you and I are doing similar activities today. Did you dip it into the booze?
I got, you know what? I found out that this tumbler I got around the house here. Mm-hmm. And I got it from doing a benefit show. I was using it for coffee, like a real sucker.
Mm-hmm.
I was using it for hot drinks. Turns out you put ice in it with a cocktail. That shit's cold. You'll die before this melts.
I never thought of that.
And it's
That's
a
great idea.
And it's a big drink. It's a big drink. So I just have it for a while.
Keeps the hot side hot and the cold side cold.
Ooh, McDLT?
McDLT, baby.
What is it? What did the D stand for? And avoid the easiest thing you could say.
I think the D was the McDonald. It was the McDonald lettuce tomato.
What the fuck would a McDonald's lettuce and tomatoes? If you got that, you would fight the manager at McDonald's.
Do you remember the packaging, though? It came deconstructed.
The hot side was hot, and the cold side was cold, and everything was styrofoam.
I thought that was pretty cool.
And the world was fine. We filled our giant gas tanks up with gas that was 58 cents a gallon. We ate out of styrofoam that we microwaved freely. We peeled the melted styrofoam off of our reheated McDLTs.
Mm-hmm.
There's better times back when.
Yeah.
What was it? They just
I'm trying to think.
Didn't they just what did they do? Just they just disassembled the burger and was like, fuck it, you do it.
Yeah, they put the one bun and the patty on that one on the hot side, and they put the other bun with the tomato and the lettuce on the other side.
But that was it? You go ahead and shuffle this That's yourself? It.
Exactly.
Go ahead and blackjack deal this to your stomach.
Yeah. Some assembly required.
What the fuck? Fast food, and then here you put it together. Good. Eat my butt. You imagine Taco Bell doing the same thing? Yes, do it yourself, Burrito Supreme. There's nine containers of fucking spicy jizz. And a paper towel that we're calling a tortilla. Go do that in your car, you pothead. See how that turns out. You turn your 89 Cressida into a crime scene trying to put that together.
Oh, my God. Eat my butt.
Eat my butt.
Oh, God, that's funny.
How's your life, Dave?
I was thinking maybe tonight I could eat your butt.
I go eat your butthole.
Oh, man. Bendo, what have you been doing with your time?
You know what?
Week?
Give me your hot side hot and your cold side cold.
You know, I'll put it together.
Means face down, ass up.
Mm-hmm.
You got a real I'll mean mug. Put that in the pillow.
I'll give you the McDIC. Oh, God. What is happening?
Give me your patty side.
What are you doing, man? What's
sitting
going
in my
on?
Garage drinking booze out of a coffee mug. What do you think I'm doing? It's a fucking quarantine.
Dude, we had to record an hour later because you got balls deep into Ozark season 3. How's that treat?
Yeah, I was thumbing it into Ozark. So I was watching my Ozark.
How good is that?
I, you know what? I love a bingeable show, Dave.
Yeah, I do too.
And we're all guilt, like, it's guilt free. No calories on bingeable TV right now, other than the fact that I went up to go pee and my knees hurt real bad because I haven't moved in 48 hours.
Well, I have some guilt involved in it because I broke a couple's rule. Katie and I were watching.
I thought you were
going to
say
together.
You broke a couple chairs.
I broke a couple chairs.
You sat through so many episodes of Ozark and kept getting fatter that you broke two chairs. That's where I went in my head. Like that. And you're not that fat, but the fat joke happened in my head. I told you when I wrote on Twitter, I'm on fire today, all right?
It's like that hole in Willie Nelson's guitar because he played it so long he wore a hole into it. That's what I do with chairs.
So you what?
Dude, Katie and I were watching it together this week, and man, she's been doing this thing. I don't know. We're going in opposite directions as far as our sleep schedules. She's been going to bed at like 8:30 p.m. every night, just like, hey, what the hell? I'm going to go sleep for 12 hours, which I get. You know, hey, yeah. Do your thing. But I can't, you know, now I got Ozark blue balls over here, you know, been watching 3 or 4 episodes straight. Now she goes to bed at 8:30. What am I supposed to do? So I broke the rule and I pursued on. I carried on, man.
You jumped ahead.
Yeah. And now it's caused a little stress in the relationship, but we're trying to fix that.
But see, the way I see it, there's enough little detail. I'm guilty of looking at my phone while I watch TV. So I'm not even watching the whole thing. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I watching this show that I proclaim to enjoy if I got to watch, I got to look at the Reddit, Justice Served Reddit, subreddit. I'm like, oh, I want to make sure that this guy in Indonesia who tried to rob a liquor store gets hit with a fluorescent light bulb somebody pulled out of the trash. Well, watch the show that somebody spent millions of dollars making.
Yeah, you got to put your phone away when you're watching a good show or a movie.
And I'm the hypocrite, too, because we'll have a movie night, and I tell Rachel, I'm like, put your phone down. We are not being distracted. We're watching a movie. But then 4 a.m., and I got 3 windows open on my phone, and I'm trying to watch Ozark. So who am I? You know, we're no better. But that's by my – I'm only punishing myself. Do you like it? Are you enjoying it?
Dude. No. Oh, dude, I'm loving it.
Are you on season 3?
Yes, I finished it the other night. Now I'm rewatching season 3 with her. I'm going back, and wherever she picked up at, I'm just rewatching it. Dude, I had a revelation the other day watching it. We've talked about in the past.
No spoilers.
How that shot,
no spoilers. I'm just on. I'm on episode 7.
No spoilers. No spoilers. But we talked about when I was watching season 1 like a year ago, how it's filmed in my hometown. That lake, a lot of those lake scenes, some of them are Lake Lanier.
Right.
Yeah, some of them are Lake Lanier, which is kind of northeast of Atlanta, but a lot of them are in Lake Allatoona in Cherokee County, right in between Canton and Woodstock, where I grew up. So I knew that going in. I've known that for a few seasons. But in season 3, now I could be crazy. I know they shot a lot of that in Canton, Georgia, and that's where I grew up. Mm-hmm. I went to high school in Canton, but I lived about 10 miles north in Waleska, Georgia.
Is there a time leap of you in high school in the background of one of the scenes of Ozark?
No, but the little bitty road I lived on in Waleska, Georgia, this little bitty back road – It wasn't necessarily a subdivision. It was just this weird little country road that had like 10 or 12 houses and like tracts of land, like 3, 4, 5 acre lots of land. But this the actual little back road that I lived on, I'm about 90% sure they filmed a lot of the driving scenes. Whenever, I don't know where you're at in the season, but you've probably seen where Ruth, who I love, by the way, Ruth's character, the curly-headed blonde-headed girl. Oh, so funny. I don't know shit about fuck. She's so damn funny. But whenever she's meeting the Kansas City mob guys to do the weekly delivery and pickup of the money, those scenes, I'm almost convinced that's my little street that I lived on. This weird little no-name back road. Because it just – and, of course, there's a lot of roads that look like that. They're pretty nondescript. There's not really any
– Yeah, I was going to say it's a hell of an eye.
But it does. It just the way the road bends and just the lay of the land. I'd be willing to bet money that that's my little bit. If anybody lives in Cherokee County or in Waleska, it's Arrow Trail. I don't live there anymore, so what the hell do I care? But Arrow Trail, not I'll give you a landmark, not far from another lake, kind of right across the street from Lake Arrowhead. So anyway,
all that delicious water's from.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think that's a different. No, that's. I guess that's Lake Arrowhead here in California. I don't know. But anyway, yeah. Just apropos of nothing. It's just I don't know. It's so neat to like. I'm still a little kid. Like, look, I know where that is.
No, when
look,
you see,
that's where I used to live.
We've talked about it here. Even just being in LA and seeing stuff from movies. I mean, they didn't. There was nothing in Addison where I'm from, but they filmed Lucas. Which there's your, I mean, we can go down that, what we talked about, but they filmed that a couple towns over at that high school. John Hughes was obviously, I mean, Chicago, but not old Addison, Illinois didn't get much. Anyway, cool story, Kyle. Thanks for sharing it with my hometown. But no, nothing.
Here, you know, in LA, you're used to it, but it's weird to see just the little town that you grew up in now.
Well, if you want to know how irrelevant Addison, Illinois is, I'm listed as one of the notable personalities from that town on the Wikipedia page.
That's awesome.
It's not.
That is nice. I like that.
Me and me and
you're notable?
I'll go to it. And Leon Spinks in his downfall lived there, I guess.
Nice.
I guess maybe Leon when he was Spinks running from the IRS.
Oh, man. Small world.
Who's from your? Are you by your computer?
I am.
Who's notable from your town? Go to your Wikipedia page. Who's notable from your hometown?
Let me see. I know a dude that was on that show Lost went to my high school.
Oh, yeah?
Josh Holloway. Does that sound right?
Oh, he was the hunk. He was the main guy.
Yeah.
That was one of the shows.
He went to my high school.
That was one of the shows I was going to start to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lost, because I haven't seen. Who was that?
Let's
we
see
got
here.
There was a guy that was in the San Francisco 49ers and the St. Louis Rams, Mark Anelli.
Okay.
Tim Breslin was a hockey player for the Chicago Wolves. Did I tell you my history with. I told you I went to a Wolves game for a Valentine's Day date.
No.
Valentine's Day, I went to an amateur. What do they call? What do they call the next league lower than pro hockey? Double A?
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know anything about hockey.
Amateur hockey. Went to a double date Valentine's Day, and the couple we were with, the guy proposed at the hockey game, but not at halftime. Mm-hmm. At the end, when everybody was just leaving drunk. Like, took a knee. And I think they lost, too. I think the team, but took a knee. And it was like, will you marry me? And everybody's just drunk, like, fuck that, bro. Like, yelling at the guy. It was bad. It was bad timing.
Hey, Hey, everybody, faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Oh, man. Canton, Georgia, notable people. Like I said, yeah, Josh Holloway, he played Sawyer on Lost. Atlanta Braves star Nick Markakis. He's from there. I knew that already.
Who's that?
Pro
guy
Football
was that?
Hall of Famer. It's a guy named Nick Markakis. He plays for the Braves now, but he played at my rival high school.
All right.
He's about 5 years younger than me. Oh, get this. Whoever Sonny Landham is, film actor and stuntman, he portrayed tracker Billy Soul in the film Predator. I don't remember which character was Billy Soul.
Wait a minute. Sonny Landon. Let's look him up. Let's do it. Let's, Dave. We're going to go.
Yeah, let me. All right, let me check on this here.
My eyes are Landon. Shit from looking at my phone all day.
I don't remember. I'm looking at his picture. I don't remember.
Oh, he was the Native American fella.
Yes.
He was badass. Okay. He was a badass.
I'm looking at it. Current day picture, so I didn't recognize him. But now I'm like, yeah, you take 30 years off that dude. That's that badass from Predator. Okay.
Yeah, he was the real. He was the guy who wasn't scared of nothing.
Mm-hmm. God, what a great movie.
We got the bass player for the Plain White Tees, Mike Rotundo. I'd played shows with that guy.
Oh, yeah?
I'd play rock and roll stuff. The Hulls from hockey.
Oh, okay. Bobby Hull.
Bobby Hull and Brett Hull went to school with someone from that family who was like, I don't want to be me. Like, it was the first, like we went to high school. When did you graduate? 95?
95.
Do you
25
ever,
years ago.
Fuck,
do you believe that?
Right?
25. My reunion, if there is one, would be coming up in a few months. 25 years. I am so old.
Do you ever go back like this? Because do you ever go back and look at like I'll look at some Facebook like of some people like I wonder where they went and like I was just talking with my buddy Joe the other day about this how we were little, we're like real tiny guys. I'm a tiny guy now, but we were smart asses. So we were still jerks. We were still bullies with our words. And we got away with it because we were so small, nobody would kick our ass because we were like fish that you would throw back. Like nobody would want to beat us up. So we were total dicks. And I look back like, funny. Oh, I look back at like some like I'm like, oh, I was a loser in high school. Like, no, I had fun in high school, but I was an asshole. And I look back to see how some people turned out. And one of the members of the Hull family who was like was. In the early 90s, nobody was openly gay in my high school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there were some people, like, when you thought, like, oh, that maybe that guy. And then there's some people like, oh, that's a gay dude. And they're, like, doing everything just until they can graduate and go to college, just, like, fucking keep it together.
Just hanging on, yeah.
Just like, yeah, what are you going to fucking do about it? Could not wait to leave. And that was one of the Hull families. And then I think I've looked him up online. It seems like, oh, this guy's just like out living his best life. And it's like, oh, shit, man, I can't imagine what it was like to be in the 90s. When we were shooting Those Who Can't, the pilot they shot at a high school, at a operating high school in Denver. So school was still going on. When we were shooting in classrooms and stuff. But then the billboards in the hallway would be like, oh, the LGBT club meets Thursdays. And this, I'm like, holy shit.
That's awesome.
The idea of just being out in high school.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm like.
We had a gay dude in elementary school. Like,
really?
He didn't say, hey, I'm gay, but it was it was, you know, so obvious. But he was in fifth or sixth grade, and I'm not making this up. How unfortunate of a name. I won't say his first name. Just, I don't know what the laws are about all that.
Yeah, his last names are the ones that are anonymous. What are you doing?
His last name was Gurley, G-U-R-L-E-Y. But how ironic that this super effeminate little fella, his name was Gurley. And, you know,
I don't want to give it away by giving his first name, but his last name was Gurley, and he was gay.
And I'll spell it for you. But, like, and everybody was nice to him, but it was, nobody really, this was the late 80s. So we didn't really understand what gay was. We just knew that, oh, that old fella there is very feminine.
Well, shit, man.
And I don't know if he would have said, hey, I'm gay, but he was like, he was the 10-year-old version of a flamboyantly gay dude. Well, like, he was very flamboyant and very feminine. But everybody, like, I mean, I'm sure he's got stories that he could tell, but from my perspective, I don't remember anybody mistreating him or being a dick to him. It was just like, yeah, he's girly. He seems very girly, you never know.
Yeah, the idea of what you think they were treated like is different than how they were treated.
I don't remember anybody like openly picking on. I'm sure they did, but you know, we were just like, he's special.
The two, yeah,
it was almost like.
Well, it's like you.
And I'm not being derogatory, but it was almost like, and I know this is going to be taken out of context and sound awful, but like it was the same way that if you had like a special, like a mentally challenged student,
something
like,
is different. They're not normal, exactly.
So we don't know exactly what's going on, but let's just leave it alone.
We have a very narrow definition of what is normal, and anything outside. Mm-hmm. That we were going to get some sort of label. And looking back, like the flamboyant kid, the dudes that I knew, the one dude was like early computer genius.
Really?
And we were like in the public library and he's like, watch this. And he's on the computer and he just types in a few things and all of a sudden he's got the payroll up for the people at the library and the school system. Like, knew how to hack computers early. But they were also like when you first understood what real cutting sarcasm was, it came from the two, mm-hmm. like the dudes who like were like, oh yeah, those were like the gay guys in class, but they were real funny because they'd already dealt with enough shit. They dealt with enough shit.
They had to learn.
Yeah, it wasn't like, look at me, I'm loud and funny. It was like, I got a comment. It's for the four people around me. And if you didn't hear it, tough shit. And I learned the art of subtlety from the flamboyantly gay fellas in my high school.
Nice.
But like,
that's an important art that many people still haven't learned.
Yeah, but like going back, like oh man, like in high school, like how much, I mean, there's still a long way to go with, you know, trans and everything like that. I'm sure of it, but shit, like to think like, yeah, no, nobody's gonna tell anybody they're gay. We're all just gonna sit here and make fun of the Indian kid because that's not real racism. We only had like two black guys in our school and they were stars. Everybody loved them, but then it all got thrown on the fucking massive Indian population that lived in my town. Fucking high school, god damn it. What a hellscape.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah, I don't know how we got off on that. Probably because I'm drunk. I don't know, sorry.
It's so funny that you a few minutes ago just used as an example about my chili. I'm currently making chili. I mean, I know that's not. Yeah, what are the odds? Dave's making chili.
Really?
But
what are you doing?
Yeah, cooking it up today.
Like standard special Dave chili or new versions?
I'm doing a slightly modified version.
Dave's remix chili.
Katie friendly chili. Katie likes my chili, but it's always too spicy.
Dave's so Caribbean Dance Club remix chili.
Dude, I've been cooking so much this week. I mean, I've just been crushing it. Listen to what I've been making. Dude. Have I told you about my beef short ribs?
Tell me about your beef short rib, Dave.
My beef short ribs are
the audio
so
quality
damn good.
Came through on the ASMR I tried to deliver by saying Dave's beef short rib.
Beef short ribs, dude. So good. Such a overlooked cut of meat. I'll just give you the quick rundown. You sear that shit in a pan, real high heat. You just sear it in a little bit of oil for 2 or 3 minutes.
You doing a recipe in the middle of the episode, Dave?
Just, oh, yeah, why not? Get it all nice and brown, and then I roast off the onions and garlic.
They wait for the end. You're surprising them right now.
Oh, I got another one. I'll give you a real recipe at the end, but I'm just telling you how I do it, man. Sear those short ribs off, roast off some onions and garlic, puree that shit, throw the puree and the short ribs into a Dutch oven, and then you hit it with some red wine and let that shit braise for 3 or 4 hours. Oh, my God. So I made that. I made that on, like, Wednesday. And then I had some extra, not leftover, but short ribs I did not use. So the next day,
that's what leftovers
I made, and I'll give. No, no, but like,
oh, I didn't cook. I get what you're saying. I understand.
Yeah, like I had like 2 pounds, and I only cooked a pound for that entree. So I had some uncooked leftovers. So the next day, and I'll give you this recipe at the end of the episode. But I made my my homemade marinara. But I threw in some beef ribs. So I guess it's more like a beef short rib ragu.
Oh, like a bolognese.
Oh, it was so good. And then the next day, like, it's weird how I recycled, like, 3 steps. So, like, Tuesday I have beef short ribs. Wednesday I have beef short rib ragu. And I make, you know, the marinara and the pasta. And then Thursday I had some leftover marinara and pasta. And I made a baked pasta dish, which was friggin' amazing.
Like a baked pasta.
So and today I'm making chili. I've just been crushing it, dude. I've been cooking.
You're
so
doing
much.
It, man. Don't have a heart attack.
I'm having a blast.
I'm not exactly. Even. I'm
right,
not even
right
kidding.
When I said that, I just no. I know I'm incriminating myself with my unhealthy lifestyle.
But no, that's not. It's because people are moving. Control. If you're not doing movement, but then people like they're stress eating or they're like I'm not even joking. I'm telling myself this as well. Like, I just have a drink. I got nothing else to do. I'll just get, you know, I'm forced to stay inside. So everybody has an excuse to behave how they want right now. And for the most part, a very justifiable excuse, which is a dangerous thing. I can't go to work. I got to watch my money. I got like, okay, I'll just eat these cheap things. Not in your case, but like for me, like, oh, I guess I'll just eat macaroni and cheese and throw a lot of hot dogs and shit in it or whatever comfort food. Because of what's going on, I'm going to drink more.
Oh,
it doesn't matter
if
I'm hungover. I'm going to smoke more weed or whatever. So just watch yourself, man. Push that blood through your body. Push your blood through.
Yeah, I've been trying to do the kettlebells. Well, not trying. I've been doing them, but I'm not going to
get a little cardio.
I've been doing them every day.
Get a jump
day.
Rope.
The other day, though, I've got that. I finally got around to getting the whatever the tracker, the pedometer that tracks your steps on your phone.
Yeah.
And the other day, I had less than 100 steps. That's hard to do.
Dude, I haven't done
That's hard to
today.
Do double digits.
I walked up the stairs to get to the garage and I'm out of breath.
Mm-hmm.
I get it, man.
It's so weird.
I did some jump rope on Saturday and then we did a little run. Locked up my whole Achilles tendon. For the next day, it's got to do something to get that heart going. Though it's fine if the mechanics are fucked up because of it. Like, okay, I got to stretch. I get that, but it's the internals. You know, it's the cardio. It's the engine. Does the name Rocco Sisto mean anything to you? He's from Addison. Played a young junior soprano on the show.
Oh,
The Sopranos. I'm still on this page, by the way. I'm sorry.
The young meaning like a 50 or 40 year old when they did the flashbacks.
Yeah. So that's his big deal.
Okay.
Leon Spinks retired. Yeah, he resided in Addison after his retirement. Man, you fucked up your retirement if you retire and you go to Addison. I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, well, he's a boxer.
You blew a lot of cash.
One of those boxers from the 80s.
Yeah, you blew a lot of cash if you retired to Addison. Lena Trevitti.
His brother lasted. His brother, Michael Spinks, lasted 91 seconds against Mike Tyson.
Oh, God. What did he get? 100 grand for every second, though?
That was a pay-per-view that my dad bought me in high school, and I had a bunch of friends over. And we got pizza, and we had a big thing, and we're all excited. We're going to watch the pay-per-view. Mike Tyson, 91 seconds. Boom. Fight's over.
I told Rachel was making chicken today. I'm like, oh, I'm a meat cuck. That's what I am. because I still like it. I'm still like, that smells good. She's like, you want some? I'm like, I'm not going to have it.
You just sit in the corner and watch her eat it?
I'm a meat cuck. That's who I am. I've learned it. I made international hot dogs yesterday. I made three of them.
Okay, explain that.
Well, one was Mexican because I put salsa on it, and the other two were just Chicago style. But it was, you know, which kind of encompasses Chicago has a strong Latin American community too. So I drizzled some enchilada sauce and some salsa and some shredded cheese on that one. And then I had another one that was traditional with tomato wedges and chopped onion and relish and mustard. And then I had another one with jardiniere and spicy brown mustard just to see what that would be like. And then I ate three hot dogs and I felt a little sick.
And now what dogs are you eating now? You got like some sort of, is there a certain brand you like?
Whatever tofu. Now we're just ordering groceries. So whatever tofu ones. Dogs aren't bad. You know what, Dave, I'll put this to you, though. Uh-huh. The Impossible meat, did we talk about this, that you could buy from the store?
Ground up. I'm seeing a lot of that.
The ground up kind, so it's like ground beef, and you can just make it in a pan. Pretty good? It's not better for you, so it doesn't matter health-wise. But for me,
why is it not better for you?
It's just as greasy and shitty for you.
But it's not animal fat.
No, but it's still not good for you. But I ate that. I made burritos with that, and I was like, oh, shit. Like, I almost had to check it. I almost had to be like, really? Well, I don't know. Let's come up with a conspiracy. Let's go. Let's be a boogie monster.
Uh-huh.
Let's be a boogie monster here. Lena Trivedi, involved with the creation of Beanie Babies. She was raised in Addison. I don't even know. You can't even say Kofa involved with the creation of Beanie Babies. What kind of fucking racket is that? What kind of fucking side hustle, money laundering?
Maybe I've been watching. Involved in the creation.
Yeah, I've been watching too much Ozarks. Like, actually, she just laundered the money from the Beanie Babies that were stuffed with crack. That were anyway. So
speaking of Ozark again, the brother. That brother, he's annoying. I'm not a fan. There's something about that guy I don't like.
I'm in the midst of I feel like, all right, spoilers. Should we say spoilers? Spoilers to anybody who's watching Ozark Season 3 right now.
Uh-huh.
Dip out for a minute.
Okay.
Okay, I think they're out for a minute. Uh-huh. I think the mental illness angle is a bit of a Band-Aid on some story holes they may have had.
What episode are you on?
7. I'm almost done with the whole thing.
Okay.
I'm on to one. They're having like the fundraiser, and he came in and made a scene.
Yeah, and he's off his meds.
Yeah, I feel like it seemed like a somewhat easy way to like stir some shit. It's like, this guy's off his meds. You know, it's the same way like, how are we going to justify why we're having such good deals on these TVs? Because Crazy Eddie's off his meds. And just let it fly. Like, oh, well, that's why. Now we don't have to. It's not some weird tax evasion thing. And we got to get these flat screens out the door before the IRS gets here. It's, hey, Crazy Eddie's forgot his even Steven pills, as a friend used to call him.
He fell down and conked his head.
Uh-oh, what's going to happen? I want everybody to have a brand new DVR. Anyway,
you've been watching anything else other than Ozark? I'm running out of stuff to watch.
How can you run out of stuff to watch, Dave?
Because I'm very discerning. I there's a lot of shit I don't like. I've been watching a ton of history documentaries.
Discernation? I fell asleep. What's the verb for discerning?
I don't know. I fell asleep to a Pol Pot documentary the other night, so that tells you where I'm at.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Discernation?
Guy was a bit of a dick.
Bit of an asshole.
Pol Pot.
Discernation. I'm trying to find the verb for discerning.
I think I'm just going to fuck it and watch Sopranos for the 10th time.
Dave, don't do this.
I love it. I watch it about once a year. I love it so
discernation.
Much.
Anyway, now's not the time for discernation. That's where I was going, Dave. You gotta jump in with both feet. There's nothing. There's no like, ooh, this is my time home off the road. I got to make the most of it.
Uh-huh.
That's gone, dude. You get to like take a chance.
What should I watch?
I started watching The Wire, but then I put that on pause for New Ozark. Like I was telling you, I was like, maybe I'll watch Lost. I never watched Lost.
I watched two seasons.
I never watched the Walking Dead. People says it gets shitty after a while. Fine, maybe I'll watch it until it gets shitty. I tried Mad Men a few months ago.
That didn't take?
I got to like season 5 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just got like, oh, these sad, handsome dudes just drown their sorrows in pussy. And then, oh, it didn't fix anything. What am I going to do? I don't know. Fucking cram it up your butts. I couldn't care about them anymore. I just didn't care about the care. Oh, my life's complicated.
Yeah, I get it.
We watched.
There are a lot of unlikable characters on that show.
Did we talk about Uncut Gems last week?
We did, yeah. All right. Yeah, sorry, you saw that.
I watched a lot of Pixar. You know what's a good revisit? Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
That? Ooh.
That one
confused young Dave quite a bit.
Because it's a movie for adult. You mean sexually?
Yeah.
Roger Rabbit, he's a hot piece of ass.
He's funny, but masculine. I didn't understand, you know, what was going on. I didn't know a cartoon could make me feel that way.
It still does. I watched it the other night. Still does, dude.
I saw that in the theater with my grandmother.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were getting into.
I might have to revisit that one.
That one, and as my buddy Vance Sanders informed me, is actually based on the idea of building the 110 freeway here in Los Angeles.
What, Roger Rabbit?
Yeah, because it's about, if you look at where the 110 freeway goes, and they talk about in the movie, like it's going to get people to Pasadena without having to do it. And people are like, well, why would you do that when you have in the movie, it's the red car. You could take this rail car for a nickel.
The 110's one of the first freeways ever built in America.
That's what the movie's about.
That's why the on-ramps and exit ramps are so short and shitty.
It's for people that don't understand, it is like merging onto a NASCAR track. Like, take whatever highway you have near your home and imagine that you get a stop sign and then a right turn in about 50 yards of leeway before you have to be up to speed to join the highway. Because that's what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There's no gradual merge. Scary. And it was made when cars could not accelerate and go as fast as they can now. Mm-hmm. Which is, again, watch that movie knowing the historical context, because it's about how this is a boogie monster topic about how the car companies came in and buried public transportation in Los Angeles and was like proponents of freeways, make car culture a thing. Los Angeles had had public transportation, had a train system. If you go, it was over by where you lived. I think, I don't know which train line that was, but you know where Rick's Drive-In, the diner, is at Fletcher and Riverside there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you see these big pylons going up the hill? Those were the supports for the train tracks that ran along the river.
No shit.
And if you go into Rick's and you go inside, they have all these pictures, all these old black and white pictures of when the train car used to run by there. And they had all these different, they had public transportation, they had trains in LA, and the car companies came in, squashed, like bought up the train companies, squashed them so the automobile industry would flourish, and then they wanted to build a freeway. That's the entire plot of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Christopher Lloyd's character is the guy who owns the company who's buying up the train cars. And then Toontown, there are the Mexicans, because that was the Latin community that they wanted to build the freeway through. That they had to like swindle to get the freeway built all through East Los Angeles. It's got historical context. Huh. My buddy Vance Sanders pointed it out to me. I appreciate that. And now to watch it with that knowledge, very interesting film. Also, one of the first films where Disney and Warner Brothers cartoons crossed over. It's one of the first times you'll see Mickey Mouse and who's the goddamn rabbit?
Roger?
No, the Warner Brothers. Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny. Okay. Yeah,
they're sharing a scene. It's one of the first time they had to do it's like read the trivia about it. Oh, it's great, Dave. There's a scene where there's a movie term now called tipping the lamp or something. And it's about how there's a scene where Bob Hoskins, who's the real life detective, is interacting with Roger Rabbit, but they keep bumping into a lamp, so the lamp shifts the light, and they had to animate every time the light would shift so you could see Roger Rabbit in a shadow or when the light was showing. There's it's a great one. Not just to you, Dave, everybody. Go take a time. There's swear words. There's big jugs. There's, you know, a lot of adult humor in it. It's got something for everybody except children.
Yeah, I was sitting there whenever that came out. What was that, like 88, 89, something like that?
I think it was 1988.
Yeah, I was sitting there in the theater, me and my brother and my grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, huh, this cartoon's pretty great. Look at her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a whole thing. That changed a lot of people's attitudes. Like, I brought my kids to this? What's going on? I remember I went to a movie with my grandmother. My grandmother wanted to take, like, her kids and all the grandkids out to the movie, and everybody had two choices. Like, all right, for the boys, for the girls, we're going to go see Back to the Beach. And for the boys, we're going to see RoboCop. And so I watched fucking RoboCop with my grandmother. And it was like,
oh, that's amazing.
The most violent film to date. At that moment, I was like, holy shit.
That's hilarious. I saw Back to the Beach on my birthday, whatever year that was. I don't know why that one. I knew nothing of beach culture or surf culture, but I was like, I want to go see that movie. And my dad took me to Back to the Beach.
But
who was in that? There were two, like, two old stars,
Frankie Valli and Annette Funicello. That is a movie I want people to see now because it was one of the – remember how, like, they were remaking Brady Bunch or something, and it was actually real funny? Like, they remade 21 Jump Street. 21 Jump Street's a really hilarious movie, and everybody thought it was going to be like a dumb, oh, we're just rehashing an old idea. That's what Back to the Beach did in the 80s, but I was a kid, so I didn't realize that they were actually really making fun of that whole genre. That movie is very funny.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Watch it now. Dave, I'm telling you, there's no reason to be bored with TV.
Yeah. No, I'm not bored. I've been watching a ton of great, for whatever reason, I've been on a big history documentary kick. I just watched the entire American dynasty, the Kennedys. I know so much about the Kennedys now. Hey, did you know this? Did you know that JFK and Jackie lost a child to miscarriage during his presidency? I didn't learn that in school. That's crazy.
I don't know. Do you know he got shot in the fucking head during his presidency?
Dude.
The miscarriage.
Dude.
That's a bummer. You know, he had his brains fucking spackled on the back of a Lincoln Continental in front of his wife.
We watched the Zapruder film in like second grade. Like, hey, there's one of the most beloved presidents whose head literally explodes on camera. Pow. I think that has something to do with. I don't know, just watching history stuff. But I remember being like in second grade and I was like, oh, shit, that's not a movie. That's a home video of our president's head exploding.
How sad is it that Larry,
that's gotta have
that Larry,
some effect
yeah,
on us.
That Larry Bud Millman's head getting shot to bits on TV is a punchline, but Kennedy gets all of tragedy fame.
Not Larry Bud Millman.
Oh man, I really confused two dudes.
Bud Dwyer.
If Larry Bud Millman blew his own brains out on TV. Oh, no.
Who is Larry Bud Millman? I've heard
he
that name,
like,
but I couldn't
Letterman
tell you who that is.
Like a Letterman sidekick. He was okay. A silly face.
Oh, yeah.
Bud Dwyer.
Oh, the Bud. Is it Bud Dwyer? Yeah.
Bud Dwyer was the guy that did himself in on the TV there.
But, yeah, I'm 7 years old just watching a beloved historical figure's head explode.
Yeah, I would question the context of that being shown to a group of second graders. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was pretty alarming.
Did they show the Challenger explosion?
Yeah. No, we were off school that day. For some reason, that was like a teacher work day or maybe MLK day. It was something.
Oh, like
some
a half
holiday
day
or
kind
for
of thing.
Whatever reason. Yeah, for whatever reason, we weren't in school that day. But I remember that was big news like the week leading up to it. And it was like, hey, it was a Monday. I might be wrong, but somebody could look that up. I feel like it was a Monday. And we watched, me and my brother watched that at home live on TV. And, oh, shit, that can't be good.
I can't remember. Yeah, if I was in school when that was happening. I don't remember. What do we got? We got some stuff, some Boogie Monster stuff today, Dave.
We'll get to that later. We're almost done. I did want to.
You want to? Is there any of the current events?
Dude, did you hear about this? I think this is going to be okay, but Sturgill Simpson tested positive for coronavirus. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did see that.
That's a bummer. I think the story is he got it like about a month ago. I was thinking about when I read this story, I thought to myself, like, how lucky am I that I wasn't on tour in late February, early March? And then I thought about you. I'm like, you're always on tour.
But it doesn't matter, though, like anywhere you were.
Well, I know. I'm just saying the probability of, you know, imagine. I mean,
well, they're saying the wave, the next wave, like it'll come. Like now it's all the people that. Who didn't know they had it, like asymptomatic people who are like, I'm fine, I'm fucking going out. And now all the people that were around those people are going to get hit with it.
Yeah.
So that's why they're saying.
Yeah, I think what happened to him late February, early March, he was just the beginning of his big arena tour, by the way. Him and Tyler Childers were embarking on like a basketball arena tour, like 10,000-12,000 seats.
Just basketball?
Just basketball. but like, how crazy is that? Like bigger than theaters. Like as comics, some inside baseball here, but like as comics, like one of the landmarks that you want to shoot for is like, holy shit, so-and-so's playing theaters now. And you're kind of right there at that level. You're starting to play some theaters.
That's a huge achievement.
That's a huge achievement, buddy. And so, like, theaters is, like, kind of the gold standard. But then, you know, there's some people that go on to play, like, arenas. And that's where he's at in the music world. But, yeah, he just started his arena tour. And he was over in Europe for a while. Then he came up and did, like,
but also, it's an artist that has, like we look at with integrity, not, like, some manufactured group that's, like, well, we'll just get him videos, buy them radio play or wherever, and then put them in arenas. It's like, no, this guy made his bones on his own. So to get there on your own, it means more.
And especially the genre of music he's playing. Like, arguably, the most successful, like, whatever you want to call it, alt country, Americana, outlaw country, there's never been an artist in that genre to achieve that level of success.
That's true,
in front of that big of numbers. But, yeah, so he was doing his tour, and then it got canceled right around, you know, the beginning of all this when everything was shutting down, sports were shutting down, and everything was canceling. And he apparently got to feeling really bad. He had high blood pressure. He's feeling faint. He went to the hospital. And then I guess he he had trouble getting tested. He was there's some interview he did in Rolling Stone magazine about it. But he was just talking about how he felt like shit. He went to the hospital and they were just trying to convince him, like, oh, you don't have coronavirus. And he's like, well, can you at least test me? Cause I feel like shit. And then like a month later, the test came back. And like recently, and it said, oh yeah, you tested positive, but in the time in between, he's felt fine. Like he's had no symptoms.
Yeah.
Like in the last month, he's felt fine or whatever. But so hopefully that's a case. And I still don't know. I'm not clear on how this thing works, but I apparently that's an example of someone who got coronavirus and beat it, like, you know, was sick for a while, then, you know, felt better. And now, like, by the time he got the word that, hey, you tested positive, he's felt fine for like a month. So hopefully he'll be fine.
Yeah, I kind of checked out on reading too much about that stuff. Like, I'm going to be – I like, yeah. Oh, here's the precautions you need to take. I'll do that, but man,
you wearing a mask in public? We went out in public now?
Saturday we went out and we were we went for a little like walk and jog around the neighborhood and we had masks on the jogging side, like if we saw somebody we put the mask on, but if it was just Rachel and I putzing around, I wasn't like I would pull it off because it's very hot. But yeah, we were wearing it because then, you know, they say like all these particles can live in the air. I don't.
Well, know, LA just passed a thing.
What'd they pass?
LA County, you have to wear a mask. I think you can get cited if you're in public and not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And businesses, if you go to the pharmacy or the grocery store and you're not wearing a mask, they have the right to tell you to get the hell out of there, which I'm fine with.
Yeah. I mean, the conspiratorial part, like I can understand the people freaking out. What was shit? I read one today that was the one I read today, like all the memes going around, like giving you like a picture of like nine choices of like bands or foods, like you can only pick three, go. Yeah. Have you seen that stuff? And somebody's like, is this just getting us ready for the election when we have to choose between Biden or Trump? Like, sorry, you only get to pick two shitty things. You only get one out of these two shitty options. We know we don't know what we're talking about, except we can have our opinions, you know, like an average American. I know 5% of the issues, but I still have an opinion about them.
Bernie terminated his campaign the same night that John Prine died, so that was a rough day last
yeah,
week.
People were bummed out about that one.
Yeah,
a lot of people had to let the world know they were John Prine fans after the fact.
Yeah, I have no problem with that, though. I think people are too hard on folks. Whenever a celebrity or an artist dies, like, oh, all of a sudden, so what? So what? Like, I'm a John Prine fan. I didn't listen to him every day.
Nah.
He wasn't in my top five rotation, but, why not celebrate an artist when they pass?
I get a little annoyed at the grief claiming sometimes, where it's like people that have to announce that they're affected by something as well, like... you know, that's not grief to me. Grief is like, fuck off. I'm going to process this. Not like, look at me. I am also sad. Acknowledge me with likes or retweets because I too am grieving. Yeah. That being said, if this thing gets David Lee Roth, this thing takes down Diamond Dave. And people come start coming out of the woodwork like they weren't making fun of Diamond Dave. Like, oh, it's actually sad. I'll cut your fucking throat. I'll send you to heaven with him. You start coming out.
Is David Lee Roth number one on your list of celebrities that you would be most traumatized by if they passed recently?
Okay, listen. As far as entities, as far as individuals whose personalities and existence surpass the human apart. Like David Lee Roth has not had to be a part of this realm for a long time. And not in terms of some sort of just checked out dipshit reality star that has handlers that are like, you make us you make us money, so let's just keep you a fucking moron until whatever happens.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth is a fantastic frontman for rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And in his heyday, had a voice and a showmanship like no other. You know, he's like Little Richard to me. He's just He's not a a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Little Richard's not a guy. He's an entity. He's a glowing orb of talent and joy for music. That's what he is.
I'll admit I wouldn't call myself a Van Halen fan. I respect what they did for rock and roll. I don't dislike them. I wouldn't call myself a huge fan, but when you took me to see Van Halen at the the
Hollywood Bowl?
Dude, David Lee Roth killed it. He crushed it that night. So entertaining.
Time and
at whatever his current age is. So I was sitting there watching him in whenever that was, 2015, 2016.
Yeah, like 15.
I was 16. Like, how bad, and I was so impressed. I was thinking, like, how badass was this show in 1983?
And I think it was Emily Maya Mills made the joke about, he's like, and then he would just go in behind the drums and change outfits like a like an ant at Grey Gardens would just come out with different outfits. they were in better seats than we were, so she got up close for it. But I'm sick of thinking, like, why do you have to know everything to, like, when people are like, I'm a fan, but then they have facts that you don't know, so then they win biggest fan award in their own award ceremony. Yeah. Like, who the fuck? Well, if you're a fan, you're like this. You could like one song by somebody and be a fan of them. What are you going to gatekeep appreciation for what somebody else does?
It's not a competition.
Now, if you want to hate somebody for one single thing, I'll call you out. No, you want to use the word hate? I want you to have some consummate knowledge of why you hate. Like, I wish people dead a lot, and I have a good catalog for those, good catalog of reasons why.
Got a spreadsheet.
But a fan?
No, that's a great point. That's a good point.
A fan? Yeah. Why do you have to know all this stuff? No, you're just a fucking dork. You're not a fan. Like, you're a fan, but you're also a dork. I'm a fan, but I'm a cool dude who likes the hits and knows how to take it easy, man.
Yeah.
Jingle, jingle, jingle. Ice at the bottom of my cup. Still ice.
Oh, man. Oh boy, should we land this puppy, buddy?
Isn't even the Boogie Monster anymore. Just me and you being buddies.
Mm-hmm. Well,
being friends.
Being buddies. Go find you a buddy and be a buddy. No, I had some boogie stuff I wanted to talk about, but we'll save that for next week just because, and we've mentioned this before, but it just feels like such a weird time to just talk for an
hour
about
conspiracy theories. But that's why we should, because now everybody's settled into this.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing new about, like, what'd you do? I fucking beat off 9 times and drank pancake mix. Like, that's not entertaining. Like, people want the distraction. people want something else.
Good point. All right. Well, I've been saying this for weeks, but we will eventually get back to that. And I had some stuff locked and loaded that we could talk about this week, but I'll hang on to it for next week. But some interesting, just some small stories floating around in the Boogie Monster universe. But yeah, we'll save that for next week. But buddy, good checking in with you.
Well, hold on, I got some dates to plug. All right, listen.
You got dates?
Yeah, Wednesday the 15th.
What do you got?
Tomorrow the 15th. I'm gonna be in the kitchen.
Uh huh.
We got. I think we got.
I was
like,
wondering where you.
We got like a chickpea burrito bowl thing from HelloFresh. We're gonna be making, so that's going down the night of the 15th. 16th, I'm probably gonna do a Korean face mask. That's Thursday the 16th. Just something to open up the pores, you know.
Okay. No, that's no, not a method of execution?
No, no, no. Korean face. Like a Brazilian okay. next time. I'm going to give you the Korean face. You're going to look beautiful in your casket. That's what I'm doing the 16th. Probably a nice face mask. Mm-hmm. 17th, Friday night. Look out. Nothing going. I keep Friday. Well, I do other entertainments on Fridays. Anyway, that joke ran its course. All right.
You got me though.
Hey, did you do anything for Easter yesterday?
I ate the Gus's famous fried chicken takeout that my wonderful fiance ordered for me as a surprise.
Ooh, nice.
She got me Gus's, dude.
That is.
We got a Gus's in Long Beach. Oh, we got a Gus's, and I'm 3 blocks away from a Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, and I'm fucking fatter than ever.
I like Roscoe's as the flagship, or at least the first time I heard of chicken and waffles being a dish you could base a restaurant around. Mm-hmm. But as far as like if I knew there's a Gus nearby and a Roscoe's, going to Gus's.
Gus's is
no offense. Roscoe's is late
is,
night.
It's good to have.
Roscoe's is late night in Hollywood. Emergency. And it's mm-hmm. always kind of rowdy, so it's kind of fun. So it's a fun like late night meal in Hollywood if you want to go to it. Mm-hmm. But for man, God, you got a Gus's. And the quality hasn't slipped, dude. Given how many franchises there are.
No, not at all. Got the 3-piece dark. Got the coleslaw and mac and cheese. Oh my God. So
fuck,
good.
Man, I still haven't broke, so good. But God damn. My mom was real excited. She's like, God, I've got $45 ham for $10. Guys.
No, Gus is, I'll go on record. I've done this before, but just to make it crystal clear, Gus's famous fried chicken, the best fried chicken I have ever had in my life. Number one. Gus's.
You're not. Where are you putting Roscoe's in this? Or no, I'm sorry. Howlin' Ray's.
That's a different animal. You're talking Nashville hot chicken.
That's its own category, but straight up fried chicken. Straight up fried chicken. Gotcha.
Straight up fried. And granted, Gus's is spicy. It's a spicy.
They do a hot. They do a hot chicken.
Yeah, but it's not. It's still under the umbrella of classic fried chicken. Nashville hot chicken is a different animal altogether. And Howlin' Ray's is the front runner in that category.
Did they ever put the recipe
as far
out?
As classic fried chicken. I'm not sure. Howlin' Ray's, I'm not sure what they're doing with that.
What? I got a question for you, Dave. What like let's say Howlin' Ray's puts that recipe out. What can I do? In my dumb, impotent veggie world, and my meat cuck life, what can I do? How can I chicken fry? Like you can chicken fry chicken, and then mm-hmm. that makes sense. It's already chicken. Mm-hmm. It's chicken fried mm-hmm. chicken. That sounds mm-hmm. dumb. But then somebody's like, this is chicken fried steak. And I was like, what kind of rules did you make up just to break to create mm-hmm. something called chicken fried steak? Because if you could chicken fry a steak, in my head, mm-hmm. the sky's the limit on what you can chicken fry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Buddy.
Can I challenge you for a recipe for next week?
Oh, yeah.
Chicken absolutely. Fried veggies?
Listen. The chicken... That's the thing, right? That's the component we're working with. But the real star of the show, it's the breading and the seasoning and the sauce and mm-hmm. the Nashville hot. We could Nashville hot a fucking old boot if you want, and it'll be delicious. So give me one of your frou-frou bullshit tofu patties. And we'll Nashville hot. We'll Howlin' Ray's the shit out of that thing, and you'll be in heaven.
This is the world I want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you break down food, the fucking the vehicle is the same more or less all the time. It's mm-hmm. the accessories and the design on the outside of the vehicle that makes it a meal.
Yeah.
Like a chicken breast is just going to be a chicken breast. If you could bake it, like I'm saying, you put nothing, mm-hmm. you put no ingredient on.
Mm-hmm.
bake it, boil it, no flavor. Even in a pan with oil or butter, that's already some flavor.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be good. A baked, think of a baked, just a plain baked chicken breast.
With no seasoning, no...
Nothing.
Yeah. Gross. Especially the breast.
And that's how that's how I've been looking at vegetables. If all the stuff that you do to meat, you can in one way or another do to other food, maybe I don't need to eat the meat so much. Now, there's exceptions. True. There's exceptions to that rule. Nothing in the veggie world has replaced bacon or any pork product. I've not found a substitute.
Well, of course, pork's number one. Pork's number one, currently number one on my meat power rankings.
What? Will it ever be defeated? Like, what do you have to do to a ham?
Sometimes chicken hops into the number one spot.
But you got to do stuff to chicken.
Yeah.
Exactly. What do you got to do to pork?
Pork, you just fucking throw it on the ground and then put it in your mouth and you're good to go.
What's a ham?
Ham? What do you mean? What's a ham?
Like what? Like a bone in ham? Is there anything done to it?
Exhibition of pork.
Do they do anything to it? Well, I mean, is that just chopped right off?
Smoked and cured. It's smoked and cured. You know, you rub it in salt and you hang it in a. Yeah, you know, I will go off on that whole process.
But as I've said in the past, pig tastes so good. Like that was the first animal somebody must have eaten.
You think? Oh, that's a great.
I think somebody ate a pig first and was like, "Wait a minute, this was gross to do the first time." Like this was real gnarly.
Amazing question.
Well, what was the first
animal that got eaten?
Yeah, the first time we're like, "Hey, you know how these we just kind of cavort with these things or battle them? What if we ate them?" Like if the first thing you ate, like a pig. Or like a chicken.
Pig even looks good.
It's a chicken, fat, and I'm not trying to do the bit that is featured on Loose in Chicago, by the way. But like a chicken, you would have to like like pluck it.
Uh huh.
Like what? Like think about the chicken. Like you have to eat through the feathers. Like you don't know how to eat it for the first time. But a pig, if you just cooked a pig, that's why. That's one of the only thing. Like you still just like. A pig roast is like, it's dead, the whole thing. Let's eat the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What else? I mean, maybe chicken, but still, you do the head, you cut off the pig, whole thing. We killed this pig. What do you want to do? I want to eat it. Which part? All of it. The nose?
All of it.
The ears? The feet?
Sure.
Give me its butthole.
I got a pig's ankle floating in my bucket of chili right now.
part of me went like, and then you're gonna be like, "Get off my stove, pig!" Like he's just you have a pet ham hock. You have a pet pig who's walking through your kitchen, very disrespectfully. Get off my damn chili, pig!
Goddamn, Wilbur! Ham hock floating in my chili. Oh, I love pigs so much.
That's what I mean. I think that was the first animal eaten, and then they were like, "Well, if this one tastes this good, we got to eat. We got to try all these other things."
Oh God! Speaking of food, let me throw out this I'm fucking buzzed.
It is 6 p.m. on a Monday.
Beef, short rib ragu. Buff. I don't know what ragu means.
It's gravy. Italians. It's like Italian gravy.
I know. I'm saying what I'm about to get. I'm calling it beef short rib ragu.
Didn't you just gave this recipe in the middle of the episode, Dave. Remember how you?
I didn't. No, I gave you the beef short rib entree recipe. This is my beef short rib ragu or marinara. Okay. All right, here we go. Get you a couple beef short ribs, all right? Throw a little salt and pepper on them bastards. Throw a cast iron skillet or a Dutch oven. Throw a little oil in there. You could do olive oil. You could do canola. You could do vegetable, whatever. Sear them bitches off. Couple minutes on each side. Get them nice and brown on all sides. Set them aside, all right? Then make the marinara. quarter cup of olive oil, all right? About a half a cup to a cup of cheap red wine, 6 garlic cloves minced up. Get you about a medium or large yellow onion, dice that shit up. Get you 4 tablespoons of tomato paste, about 6 cups of tomato puree. You want to make that puree out of a nice canned tomatoes. I forgot the name of them, but there's a couple of
Rotel.
Brands.
You doing Rotel?
No, not Rotel. San Marzano. So I forget, but a couple of like something that looks really Italian.
Something real autentico.
Yeah, get you some canned tomatoes, puree that shit up in a blender. Two or 3 tablespoons of sugar, get you 2 fresh bay leaves, simmer that shit all together. Just get that shit going, get all that garlic and that bay leaf. Maybe you could throw a little basil in there, simmer all that shit in there, and then you throw those.
Can I ask about bay leaves? What do bay leaves do other than ruin a bite of food?
That's so funny because I've had a lot of people ask me that on the Dave's Kitchen.
They really just—they're just there to be like it's like you know it's like a shitty Jelly Belly flavor.
Yeah. Well, no, it's
like this dish is great. I wonder what. Oh, is this just the wing of a cockroach? Oh no, it's a bay leaf. It's very vital to the recipe.
You're only saying that because you have to remove it. And I get that. I get
that's
that
your job as the chef. Why the fuck am I getting that back end?
Well, because you can't. For some reason, you can't just eat a bay leaf. That's no good for you.
That you know what you could do though is take the bay leaf out before you serve it.
Oh well, no. I do
why
that.
Am I?
I
why am
that.
I doing work?
Well, that's whoever's serving you that dish. That's on them.
Listen, you come at me with peel and eat shrimp, I'm out the door. No dice. You're not seeing any of my money in this dump. Peel and eat? No. How about and eat? I just do the and eat. You peel.
Olive oil, red wine, garlic.
Peel and
garlic,
eat, and then wash
onion.
The dishes when you're done. Like a sucker.
Tomato paste, tomato puree, little sugar, little bay leaf. Simmer that shit. Throw those short ribs back
Why
in there.
Why can't you chop
Let
up a bay leaf
for
so
three
it's
or four
edible?
Hours. I don't know. I don't have those answers, Kyle. I don't know. But a lot of people are pissed off at bay leaves, and I get it. But just think of it as it's another ingredient. It's an ingredient. It's a spice. It's a thing you need. But then it's in that category of like, hey, you got to take me out before you eat this dish. So I get that you're annoyed.
It's not a ham bone. It's a leaf.
Also, like, oh, if I can't eat it, if it's poisonous, if it's going to harm me, why is it in the dish in the first place? I get
no
that.
No shit.
I don't understand. But it adds.
It's poisonous? Bay leaves are poisonous?
I'm not saying it's poisonous. There's a reason they want
you to not eat it. You heard it here, folks. Dave said bay leaves are poisonous.
Well, yeah. I mean, every dish that involves bay leaf, they say, hey, take it out before you serve this dish. So I'm assuming that there's something wrong with it. But there you go. There's your goddamn short rib ragu, Kyle. Olive oil, red wine, minced garlic, diced onion, tomato paste, tomato puree, sugar, bay leaves, short ribs. Stick it in your ear. It's delicious. There you go. And then you know, serve it over whatever pasta you want.
I love
it. Kyle, here's a question.
Okay.
What's your favorite pasta? If I brought over a nice Tupperware of Dave's marinara,
I've got opinions
sauce,
about this.
What kind of pasta?
I've got strong opinions
Give it
about
to me.
This. Now, if you're going to give me like a soupy sauce, like a marinara anyway, and I'm going to have bread and I'm going to have a bread with it.
Yeah.
I don't mind a little spaghetti, maybe some angel hair.
Angel hair, that's mine. That's my favorite. I like.
But if you're giving me a ragu, something with chunks.
Uh-huh.
And as a vegetarian, when they do it with big old pieces of mushroom and olive in it, very good too. Very savory.
Mm-hmm.
Salty, kind of vinegary in there with the sauce.
Mm.
I'm going to ask for a mustacholi.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask for a rigatoni. Is rigatoni, that's uh-huh. the screws, right? Drill bits?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think, yeah.
Uh-huh. Reason being is that's going to catch the sauce. Rigatoni more than mustacholi. Because the rigatoni is going to catch the sauce in the corkscrews and get it in your mouth.
I like the corkscrews, yeah. What's your old joke about slapping pasta into a
it was off the old one. Yeah, just about a backpack full of pasta.
That's what
liberal arts degree is like having. It's like having a parachute.
Boom, rigatoni.
Pasta.
Is it rigatoni?
I said rigatoni. I did say rigatoni.
Rigatoni.
If you're a comedian listening to it, specificity. Uh-huh. You can take a mediocre joke and turn it great just by giving a detail. Go for a detail that maybe only 70% of the audience will get. Do you want 100% of the audience to go, that's funny? Or do you want 60% of the audience to go, that's really funny? And then lose 40%.
You play to the top end.
40% are going to laugh along like, oh, shit, I assume that must be a type of pasta because he said it earlier. But it wasn't the first or second choice. It was the fourth or fifth choice. That's where you win in comedy. Specificity. Mm-hmm. Go with weird details. Get loose. Anyway. But I say that because rigatoni, that's in there. It's a 10-year-old reference to rigatoni, but because it's a very good delivery system if you're getting a chunkier sauce. Mm-hmm. If you're having an Alfredo, there's no reason to not have fettuccine. Slippery ribbons with your creamy sauce. Go for it. Why not?
Slippery ribbons is funny.
God damn, I love Italian food. I love pasta dishes. I love basic bullshit jar of pasta sauce and boiling noodles. With Parmesan cheese.
Oh, dude.
Pre-ground Parmesan cheese. We talked about this. If it's on the table at a restaurant, I'm putting that in everything you're serving me.
Pecorino Romano. I got some nice pecorino the other day.
Oh, like a piece of cheese.
Like a fucking wedge of pecorino.
You shave it yourself.
You shave that shit on top. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
We've talked about this in the past, and I'll put it to you again, but breakfast lasagna, Dave.
Oh, right.
They used to serve it at a place called Pat's Diner over in Burbank, which is no longer.
What's in the breakfast lasagna?
It was basically like a frittata with noodles adding floors to it.
Okay.
And they did some kind of sauce. I don't know if they kind of did like a creamier cheese or like a hollandaise maybe. I don't remember.
Okay. I do a chili lasagna that'll knock your dick in the dirt.
I shaved a hot dog onto a grilled cheese last week.
You shaved, like you grated a hot dog?
That
is so canine.
That's very canine. All right, but hear out my thought process. Hear me out, Dave. Like the execution, poor, but the thinking, innovative. All right?
Yes, agreed.
Listen to me. First off, Andrew Orvidal said he found some spam in his cabinet and he had a mandolin slicer. Uh-huh. So he sliced it mandolin style and then air fried it.
Nice.
And put it on a breakfast sandwich. And I was like, what if I do that?
I'm all about that.
Okay. I thought, what if I make, I'm going to make like a patty melt. But I'm going to take... if I like mandolin slice a tofu dog long ways, carefully, very delicately, and get thin slices of hot dog for the patty melt. But then I didn't have a mandolin slicer, but I had a cheese grater. So I grated a hot dog and then I put it in a pan, the gratings, the shavings, the hot dog shavings with mushroom and onion. Thinking like I would crisp it up. I would crisp up the shavings.
I like it.
But I used too much butter. So I just had real buttery, just a hot dog clippings and mushrooms and onions that I put onto a grilled cheese. It tasted pretty good. Not going to say great. I'm not going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But Why wouldn't a grilled cheese with a hot dog and mushrooms and onions on it taste good anyway? If you're high as shit.
Let me add that. I got no problem with that. Yeah. Well, we deduce that.
Yeah. Real slippery dumps the next day, but really lubed the chute with all that butter. But other than that,
sounds like a No Effects album.
Yeah. Those guys. Oh man. This band's good. What are we singing about? Poo and pee? All right. But that was I'm trying stuff, man.
Good for you.
I'm getting in the kitchen, Dave.
I'm proud of you.
Laugh at my foibles, but I am experimenting. Mm.
That's right, man. You got to get in there. You got to play the game.
I got to learn about temperature, timing, all that kind of stuff. We'll get there. Mm. All hot, salt, fat, acid, heat, hot dog shavings. It's my book.
Those are the five components to a successful
meal. It's my cookbook. It's just the cover, and you open it up, and it just says, you figure it out. That's table of contents, chapter one. I don't know, man. Give it a shot.
Oh, buddy, how's public domain with Cal Kinane going? Where are we at? Chapter what?
Man, I did last night when I was texting you at 3 a.m. I gave you a you-up text at 3 a.m. because I was sitting in the garage drunk, feeling like maybe we'll record now. I did 8 and 9 last night. Man, so, I mean.
Oh, really? 8 and 9?
Yeah, okay. 8 and 9. One of these chats. It's all written. Dracula's written from, it's all journal entries, the book. It's written as journal entries from all the participants in the story. And so it's an interesting perspective because you're only getting the viewpoint of each character as things happen. But the one chapter, and it's all just the one guy's wife who's back in the hometown while he's at the castle getting fucked up by Dracula. And it's a fucking drag. I'll tell you that, man. The way Bram Stoker thought women talked, it's a shit show. Mm. It is like... If there was a real woman like this, it would be a nightmare. So I'm blaming old Brammy Stokes on that one. Really dragged his ass around on writing women.
Have you thought about what's the next book you're going to read? Have you thought about that?
I don't know, man. I might do the Bible.
The entire Bible.
I don't know about the entire Bible. Maybe just some books. Maybe some book. I mean, this book. I'm looking at it right now because I'm in the studio. You know, I'm only. Mm-hmm. I'm not even halfway through Dracula yet. So this shit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to do two chapters a month right now, or two chapters
how many
a week.
Pages
a week
are in
right
that?
Now. Page wise,
how many
we
pages
are,
in that book?
Quick glance. Where we at? Around 315 something.
Okay.
315. You know, each thing I read is about 40 minutes, so it's going to be a while, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
How's Stoneberg's doing?
Stoneberg's is doing well. We're having a good time. Just two idiots trying to give people advice. We're having fun. Katie's Katie's a hit. People like Katie.
Yeah.
she's just a world-class goofball, like I've always said. And every Monday. We just dropped episode 5 today. So, yeah. Give us a try.
Hell yeah. Two lovebirds loving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're having a good time. She's the best. We were talking about on the most recent episode, like, amongst all this chaos with the pandemic and whatnot, we're just doing great. We're having a fun. We're just two idiots. Like we're getting along great. We don't ever fight. Like I know I'm jinxing myself, but like we don't know better. We're just two idiots that don't know that we shouldn't be more worried about what's going on.
being in a relationship where you already have some semblance of like conflict resolution.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Get to that quick. If you get in a fight, address like, all right, how should we fix this fight? Instead of just sitting there being mad at each other, I like to talk about it right away. We got in a thing, not even a big thing Saturday. I just didn't know how to tip the booze delivery guy. I'm like, did you tip him on the app or do I sign? Can I sign? Do I need a special bacterial free pen? we got right to it. We're like, all right, well, no, I didn't know this, and you didn't know that. It's all right. We communicate. Everything's fine.
Exactly. No, we had a similar thing. We snapped on each other once last week, just for something stupid, just really trivial and stupid. And we both kind of got a-tude with each other. And, like, within 60 seconds, I was like, hey, this is dumb. We can't fight with each other right now. Like, we got to resolve this immediately.
Yeah.
And we did. And we moved on about our day, and everything was great. Like, this is no time to be holding a grudge or trying to prove a point. Like, hey, but at the same time, like, I get how couples might be a little on edge with one another.
Fuck yeah.
You're just locked down, quarantined 24/7. But when those little problems come up, you got to squash them immediately. And we've done that, and we're having fun over here. Just two idiots, just cooking short ribs and listening to records and smoking pot and just enjoying our lives. And
letting pigs step in your chili.
Oh, boy. Right. Let me throw this out there. Thank you again, patrons. Boogie Monster, or patreon.com/boogie monster. I was convinced that we would, the patrons would drop off, and I would understand if that were to happen. Like I said last week, it continues to grow, Kyle. We keep adding patrons.
What's wrong with these dumb idiots?
I don't know, but I can't thank you enough, you guys. Thank you so much. $4 a month, patreon.com/boogie monster. You get the, Q&A bonus episode, and then you get something for whatever I feel like doing that month, whether it be Dave's Kitchen video, Dave's Record Room video, Dave's Kitchen Q&A, whatever. But we give you two pieces of content every month, and $4 a month.
Two pieces of content.
Thank you guys so much.
Two hot pieces.
Got two pieces of content. But big shout out to the patrons. We love you and we appreciate you. And big shout out to everybody who's bought Dave's Kitchen Survival Guide. I got 3 volumes of those. One for $10, 2 for $16, all 3 for $20. But the offer still stands. I threw it out there a few weeks ago. If you guys, if you're in a pinch financially and you're locked down and you need to cook and you don't have a lot of recipes, you don't have a lot of chops, give me a holler. I will gladly send you those for free. And big shout out, Kyle, you're not going to believe this shit, since I threw that offer out there. And I've given away quite a few for free, and I'm glad to do it. By the way, these are e-cookbooks. They're PDF files. So there's literally zero overhead on my end other than the intellectual property. But I've sent out quite a few of those. Kyle, you're not going to believe this shit. I've had people who have already purchased the cookbooks send me money and say, hey, man, take this $15 or $20 or $30 or whatever it is, and put that towards the ones that you've given away for free.
And I want to shout out to you, Dave, the guy who used to shit in a bucket using the phrase intellectual property.
I've come a long way. Oh, my God.
No, it's awesome. Like, well, I'm glad people are, like, taking this opportunity to do new things and, like, pick up activities. Yeah. I'm sitting here playing my electric drums like an idiot every day.
Oh, and just, I would love to have that.
I am very, very grateful that I have insulated myself with children's whimsies before this went down. But that is awesome. And it's food. It's food. You need food. Why not change it up? Why not take a chance? We got time today. Let's slow cook a thing. Let's take our time with a bit. Mm-hmm. Do you have a slow cooker, Dave? You got a crock pot? Of course you got a crock pot.
No, I do not have a crock pot. That's cheating.
Oh, I thought it was Instant Pot you didn't have. All right.
Well, both of them. I think I technically might have a crock pot somewhere, but I don't use that shit. Got a Dutch oven. Just fucking put it on simmer and cook that shit all day. I don't need a crock pot. Anyway.
All right. Well, I don't know. I was going to send you one, but I guess I'll just throw it out there.
Thanks, guys. But sincere thank you for anybody who listens, all our patrons, people who bought the cookbook, people that are watching Kyle's shit. We really appreciate you in this weird time. And people are thanking us for putting out our stupid podcast. We thank you for fucking giving a shit. That's my retort. Thank you for giving a shit about the stupid shit we do.
Yeah, so. Thank you. And my stuff's out there, so just go, just steal it. I don't care.
We'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much. Rock and roll.
Bless you, dumbasses.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.